John Nichols, you got a little PowerPoint? You don't use it? No? Okay.
Richard's a hard act to follow, so unfortunately you'll have to put up with me reading from my notes. A couple of people have mentioned earlier the visit of Ed Silvoso a few years ago, and I guess that was one of the challenges for me too, that in 2006 I had the pleasure to meet with him and attend a seminar, and after that God convicted me that my witness in my workplace and in the community needed to be more bold. I guess that the passage in Matthew 28, 19 and 20 kept coming back to me, both through my Bible study and through the prompting of the Holy Spirit, that we need to go forth into the world and teach and baptize, and that prompted me in 2007 to draw together a group of people and from different areas and different churches to start looking at this a bit more closely. And so with God's help and the help of some people like Tech Chong, Tim Tay and John Yates, we formed at a coffee shop in South Perth a marketplace fellowship. Now, we chose the coffee shop in South Perth because we thought that would be... Sorry, it was firstly close to my office, so I'd make sure I got there on time. But it was also a place where we could practice our witnessing to those who pull the coffee for us and to those who own the coffee shop. And that turned out to be a great inspiration. And our focus since that time has been firstly on the scriptures and secondly on the person of Jesus Christ. The method we've used has been quite simple in that we meet twice a month, and we, as other people have said, we meet for a very short period of time because we're all busy. So we meet for 1 to 1.25 hours and we meet before work, so we get there at 7 o'clock. And really the idea behind this was to ensure that we could have a forum that busy people could feel connected but still committed to, and they could share fellowship with other Christians in the marketplace. And so what we do is that we plan in order that the people who belong to this group, a lot of them travel for their work, and so I looked for a method whereby those who travel could still feel connected. So we plan the whole year in advance. So for every time that we're going to meet during the year, we set out what we're going to do at that meeting. And we also encourage and if necessary direct people to actually lead. So it's not too much effort on me. We actually get people to lead 1 week or 2 weeks in the year, which means that people are a lot more committed if they have to help and lead the group. When we commenced, we actually used a book, one of Ed Silvoso's book, which is called Anointed for Business, we used that really to create some understanding of possibilities in the marketplace for Christians. Sorry, that's what I was going to say. When we set out our agenda for the year, it gets circulated. What it means is that people can still participate in our group no matter where they are. So recently I had an email from one of the members of the group who was in Hanoi that particular week, and he said, look, I'm going ahead and I'll be dealing with the section. And we have another guy who was a member of the group, and he now owns a coffee shop and bakery in Tasmania. So he corresponds with us regularly on that matter. So we've developed this in such a way that it can, in fact, keep people committed. The other area we use is in gathering prayer points. So at the end of each session, we'll gather prayer points, which will then be distributed to all the members of the group. And so it means that people can stay connected, but not necessarily attend each week. We did have one failed attempt at technology, and my son graciously set up a blog for the first pilot, and lo and behold, most people couldn't work out how to get into this thing, let alone use it. So we've shoved that off the agenda. Under 30. I'd definitely fail then. And I guess what you might want to know is, well, what's the outcome of all this? For most people who've given me feedback, it's been a more clear purpose for people as to what the Lord wants them to do in the marketplace. There's been a greater commitment to pastoring in the marketplace. There's been encouragement of individuals and group members to lead with greater boldness in their witness. And not surprisingly, there's been a lot more opportunities for people to be bold through praying about those things. There's been a great openness in sharing, and we met yesterday, and even though there was only a relatively small number compared to usual, the matter that we covered was very probing, and we had a wonderful time of sharing. So I did forget to mention that part of this is that we send around questions which we're going to deal with on the day, which come from some material that we're currently studying. So it means that I've been involved in an organisation called Bible Study Fellowship for a number of years, and I guess I've pinched some of those ideas that if people don't put any effort in, they don't get much out of it. So the idea really is that people will actually read something and come prepared to participate, and therefore they're getting a lot out of it. We have a great openness in sharing. We have a recognition that God is supporting us in the marketplace through answers to prayer, and also greater knowledge of the scriptures and greater opportunities that we're enjoying. And I guess the last area that we've come to realise is that we're not all gifted in terms of being an evangelist. So we all have different approaches to how we deal with people in our workplaces and people who we come across. So last year we looked at what other opportunities are there for us to witness and what other platforms are available. And in October last year, we're fortunate to bring a guy from Sydney who coordinates a course called Business Alpha. So that's one of the rungs of the Alpha program that you'll probably all know about. And we got 20 people together on a Saturday morning for half a day to learn about how this course operates as a platform to win people for Christ. We're fortunate in that a number of people following that have expressed a desire to participate in that. And one of the guys, Simon Chan, who's from Subi Church of Christ, commenced the first one of those courses yesterday morning, and we're hoping that other courses will be following on from that later in the year. And the other area that we've been blessed with, because Dushan is part of the group that I coordinate, is that we're also looking at the area of microfinance as a possible area that we'll be able to witness also. So there's been a number of things have come out of this. And I guess the other things that I wanted to say really related around this idea of God at work. And one of the other books that we've used, which most of us really enjoyed is called God at Work. And strangely enough, it comes out of the Alpha Stable. The guy who wrote the book, Ken Costa, is an elder at Holy Trinity Brompton, which is the church that Nicky Gumbel pastors. And being written by an English person, it's very easy to read and understand, but has some fantastic sections in here. And one of the ones that struck me, because I think the error I struggled with firstly about the marketplace was the concept that I could be a pastor in the marketplace. And I guess I had the Moses complex, which was this business about arguing with God many times about would I do something or wouldn't I do something. So it was reassuring, and I'll just read a couple of sections out of this book. And it really follows on from a quote by William Tyndale, which says, "There is no work better than another to please God, to pour water, to wash dishes, to be a cobbler or an apostle. All is one. To wash dishes and to preach is all one. As touching the deed to please God." And I'll just read this section out. We need not only to recover this understanding, but also to rid ourselves of the view that there is a religious pecking order in God's sight, where bishops rank ahead of bankers, or anointed clergy ahead of computer programmers. Few distinctions can be so disastrous in the history of the church as that between the sacred, i.e. the ordained minister, and the secular, i.e. other callings. And so I guess this was really came home to me that the Lord didn't call people who came out of seminaries to do his work. He called business people who worked in many different areas. So we had Paul the tent maker, Abraham the cattle trader, Joseph the prime minister, Luke the doctor, Dorcas the fashion designer, Lydia the businesswoman, Cornelius the army general, Jesus the carpenter, and Simon the tanner, who was the Louis Vuitton of his day. So the only thing that disappointed me was there was no accountants on the list, and I was getting a bit worried at this stage. That's different. We haven't got any representatives of the tax office here, have we? But I think what's come home to me over this period of time is how the encouragement of other Christians meeting together and the equipping of one another can make us different people and willing to take risks. And as we take risks and pray for opportunities, the opportunities come. And certainly in my work, I have a practice in South Perth. Since adopting a new approach, there's always opportunities to pray for people who are unwell, who are unwell financially, physically, and we see great things happening, changes in people's heart and their financial position. So, thank you. Look, it would have been probably easy for me to invite a bunch of people from my church because they are all people that I knew, but we didn't start that way. And I had a selfish motive in that I wanted this to work. I picked people who I thought would enjoy the study we were going to do, but also who would move forward in this area. So we had a financial specialist, we had a flour miller, we had a real estate agent, we had a chef and an educator, we had an accountant, that's me, we had a chemical consulting engineer, had a packaging business owner, immigration consultant, a banker. You've always got to have a banker. We had a recruitment consultant, a restaurateur, electronic engineer, and we had a pastor from the marketplace, and we had a pastor from my own church. So it was a wide and varied group. There were probably three or four from my own church, and other people were people that I knew across the city. So I did have a real desire that this would be across city and across different business groupings, because I couldn't imagine anything more boring than a bunch of accountants getting together to do this, or possibly a bunch of lawyers. You know, that would be equally as boring. So we just sort of made it a cross-city ministry, and I guess from my time in the other Bible study that I belong to, I've seen the benefit of not having groupings around the same church. It adds to the richness of sharing and the richness of enjoying God's word and what's happening in our lives to see people across the city and across other churches. Yes, what we do in order to, because I think one of the reluctance of people who are busy at work is that they don't feel connected. And I know from my own point of view, I belong to a cell group in my church, which I can't attend as much as I would like to. So you tend to lose distance from what's going on. And that's the reason why in setting this up, we set out every week we're meeting during the year, so that people will know what's happening. And if we're studying or going through a book like, you know, God at Work, they'll know what chapter's being done on what day. Secondly, we send out questions before the meeting, and then following the meeting, we would send out prayer points. So it means that people, whether they're travelling or local, or even if, you know, some family disaster presents itself, that they can still feel connected, because I usually send out an email when the questions go out saying, you know, if you can't be there, at least give us a prayer point, so that we can pray for your situation. So it's really about trying to keep busy people connected. And again, the sort of things that we've looked at, these books that we've used are really only to give us something concrete to work around. For example, some of the things we've dealt with are, one of the guys who started in the group was looking at renegotiating a major contract for supply of a particular item that he manufactured. So we worked through, you know, what would be a solution to that would glorify God. I think we're lucky that the material we've chosen gives us a lever, and then it's really into situations we come across in our daily work.
Thank you, John. Isn't it great to hear all these different stories and different ways God is working right in the marketplace? I think it's amazing. And so thanks again, John.